everyone, and welcome to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. I'm your host, Dr. Linda Mental, the relationship doctor, and I'm here along with my co-host, Chris Weigel. And every weekend, we're here, we're doing life together, and we're really glad that you've joined us.
I've got a great idea, Dr. Linda. I want to have some shirts made up that say Happy Weekend, and you'd have a Happy Weekend shirt from the
there
Dr. Linda Show.
I like that.
We'll put that together. Well, today we have a very helpful topic. If you're listening, call your friends and family and tell them about this show. If you've ever experienced chronic pain or know someone who has, this is your day. We're talking about living with chronic pain. It's a condition that affects 100 million people living in the United States today. I never dreamed that many people would be dealing with day-to-day pain.
Yeah, that's a lot of people, 100 million. So again, we're going to give very practical help on this show when we're talking about dealing with chronic pain. And Chris, have you ever dealt with chronic pain?
Well, since I was about 12, back pain issues have begun. I've seen chiropractors since I was a kid, yeah. And it's always there.
I know my son has complained about his shoulder ever since he played soccer in school. I had a really bad bout of chronic pain when I had back surgery. Now, I didn't know I needed back surgery for about a month and a half, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And I honestly remember thinking I would do anything to make that pain stop.
Wow.
And I remember thinking if I could tolerate narcotics, which I cannot. I'm just one of the percents of people that just cannot take any narcotic. I just get very violently ill.
Huh.
But if I could have, I probably would have taken them. And I remember thinking, this is how people get hooked on opioids, because
right.
I would have taken them just to make the pain stop.
You do hear a lot of stories of folks who are trying to feel better, but then they become an addict.
Yeah. So we really want to help you today with your relationship with pain. If you're in pain, if you've had a pain experience, if you know somebody who has, how we think about pain, how we engage with it can either be healthy or unhealthy. It's just a lot like our regular relationships. We're
right.
talking about our relationship with pain, but it's very similar to the relationship that we have with people. We may not be able to stop pain, but we can learn to relate to it in ways that reduce it. And that's the part we're going to help people with.
This is something I hadn't considered before we began to put the show together. You can have a relationship with your pain. Hadn't heard that.
Yeah, and it can be a negative one. And there are things that you can do that will actually turn up the volume on pain. So we're going to talk about how you turn it down.
Well, people may not be aware of this, but chronic pain is the main reason Americans are on disability. And one of the main treatments for pain has been opioid medications.
Yeah, but opioids, as we've been hearing about in the news, have the potential for abuse and addiction. Because so many people have been prescribed those opioid treatments, we are in trouble. And
right.
our president has called this a public health epidemic. It's serious. There are people that we know. We had a show on this, Chris. You and
we
I
did.
Talked
right.
about a lot of people that were on your Facebook page from West Virginia.
Right.
We're reporting overdoses. So this is hitting a lot of people.
Well, the small town of Huntington, West Virginia in 2006, in one day, now it's not like this every day, but it sort of paints a picture of the problem. 26 people OD'd in one day in Huntington.
Yeah, so we've got to do something to turn this around.
Well, you can hardly turn on the radio or TV without seeing an update concerning the opioid crisis. 90 Americans die every day from opioid overdoses.
90 people every
Amazing.
Day.
That's a lot.
Wow.
And as it turns out, it's a leading cause of death among Americans under 50 years old.
So because of this problem of misuse and abuse that we're talking about, we have to do better with understanding chronic pain, and we have to have alternative ways to deal with it.
Do you think medical professionals, doctors, should just stop prescribing these medications?
You know, it's just not that simple.
Right.
I'm glad you brought it up, though, because opioids have improved the quality of life for a lot of people. I mean, millions of people, particularly cancer patients. And then people that have acute pain. You know, opioids do help when they're taken for a few days. So there are times when opioids are helpful, but acute pain is very different from chronic pain.
So there's two, chronic and acute. What's the difference between those?
Well, acute pain is pain that you usually have. There's some kind of identifiable cause. So maybe you burn your finger on the stove, you stub your toe, you slice your finger, you break a bone. It's tied to something very specific that has happened, and that pain won't last forever because there'll be some healing in the tissue in the area of injury. But chronic, or what we sometimes call persistent pain, is ongoing and recurrent. And it lasts way beyond the usual course of an acute illness or an injury healing. A lot of times we like to think of about 3 to 6 months for things to really get healed. And if things persist after that, it moves into being chronic pain. And because it persists, it affects your well-being. So if you think of chronic pain as pain that just continues when it should not, opioids are just not effective for chronic pain. They don't work. And so that's why we're talking about alternatives.
Acute pain being a broken bone, I get that. Chronic pain, would that be a slit disc or something like
or
that?
Or it's just pain that, you had something that the site of it healed, but you're still feeling the pain. And as we talk about this, that's because the perception of pain is actually in your brain. And so that's a very important relationship to start thinking about, how is my mind affecting my body?
Wow. Well, we won't be able to solve the opioid crisis today on the show, but we will focus on non-medication ways to reduce chronic pain. Can you give us a visual picture of how to begin thinking about chronic pain? We've sort of already started talking about that. Maybe a way to change your relationship with it.
So I like one of the visuals that the American Chronic Pain Association has. Mm-hmm. And what they tell you to do is think about chronic pain like a car with four flat tires. It feels like you're going nowhere, right?
Right.
If you have four flat tires, you're not gonna go too far down the road. And what happens is when you use medical treatment alone, so maybe you take an opioid or a pill, it may only inflate one of those tires. And we need all four of the tires to be inflated so our car can go smoothly down that road. So much can be done to get your car moving again, to manage that pain, and to lead a productive, satisfying, and a happy life.
So the goal with chronic pain is to stay physical, stay moving. We can manage pain and reduce it.
We want to not think we have to get rid of pain completely. I think that's a goal a lot of people have. But really, the complete absence of pain is not always possible for people. So what we want to do is reduce the pain, still feel some, but maybe be able to manage it better, not allow it to, interrupt your life so that you can function with that pain and improve the quality of your life and reduce your sense of suffering.
I think a lot of people, like you said, they want to just be pain-free, get rid of it altogether. And you're saying that that's not realistic.
In most cases, it just isn't. And our culture, though, is so big on medicating not only physical pain, but any kind of pain. We don't want to feel emotional pain either. So we're taking medicine, we're doing whatever we can, drinking alcohol, whatever we can to sort of relieve that sense of pain.
Well, look at the knee braces you can buy on the 1-800 commercials.
Well, those might be okay if they're helpful. I'm not saying don't use something that's helpful, but the more negative ways to deal with pain, which is medicating ourselves on the long run, is not a good strategy. And we're not promised a pain-free life in this world. And we'll talk about that later when we get to the spiritual side of pain.
Well, to reduce pain and to manage it, do we need to set priorities when it comes to dealing with pain?
It's really hard if you're someone who's listening and you're thinking, I can't get up and clean my house. I have trouble playing with my kids. I'd love to go out there and just kick the ball, but my knees are hurting. Pain makes all that stuff fall away. So you need a reason to get out of bed and you need a reason to move. And a way to begin to think about this is, what's important in your life? What could you do that might bring some joy back?
So Dr. Linda, let's come up with a starting point. What can we do today that would give meaning and make my day better?
Well, that's the opposite of most of us, what we want to do when we're in pain, right? We don't want to do anything.
Right.
We want to sit. We want to vegetate. We just don't want to do anything. And what we have to do is list what you can do, even if it's a very small step, and begin to think about, what is a small step to get me up and moving again?
I think of Philippians 4:13. It's when you say that, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But we do need to be realistic when we begin to deal with pain, right?
Yeah, it can drain your energy when you start. And a lot of times you think, oh, I want to do this big thing. Mm-hmm. And then you get overwhelmed and it doesn't feel good. So you want to choose a small goal that you know you can achieve. So I was listening to the story of somebody who was in pain. And this is a lady who said, it would be a real joy for me to make cookies for my grandkids. And she had so much arthritic pain in her hands, she just wasn't able to do it. But she decided, I'm going to break it down into really small steps, and I'm going to do one little thing every day. Now, it took her almost a week to get that cookie dough made and to get it in the refrigerator.
Wow.
But she eventually did it. And then, Chris, she just felt so accomplished that she actually pushed herself to do something.
She should bring some of those cookies
here. I know, right? With our coffee, it'd be good this morning.
That's right. Well, it sounds like our thoughts of I can help us move forward.
Yeah, chronic pain is never consistent. You know, people will tell you they have bad days, they have good days. And on the good days, you try to do what you can. A lot of people, though, tend to overdo it when they're having a good day.
Mm, right.
So again, do a little at a time rather than overdo it. Listen to your body and know when to stop. Don't try to do it all in one day and then suffer later.
Give yourself permission to be just a little less than perfect. Do just a little bit at a time and think of that as a victory. And keep trying, and you'll make a steady progress, small steps at a time.
I love this. I heard somebody once say, focus on abilities, not disabilities.
Wow.
We like to say you can go from powerless to being a person again.
That's right. Well, we're just getting started today on this program. Stay with us. We'll return after a short break to talk more about living with pain.
From the moment we're born, we're in relationship. At first, we depend on others to take care of us, to meet all of our needs. Then as we grow older, we make friends, we meet school teachers, later a boss at work, and a spouse at home. Every relationship is important. Every relationship requires cultivation and nurturing. And at some point or another, every relationship has its challenges, and they revolve around conflict. Did you know that you can grow through conflict and become such a healthier you than you ever expected? Well, I want to help you look at conflict in new ways, to approach conflict in ways that work. My book, We Need to Talk, can help you become a better problem solver, learn to negotiate differences, and strengthen all relationships even when conflict seems destructive. Well, let's face it, conflict is an unavoidable part of our everyday life. But conflict doesn't have to overwhelm you or destroy your relationships.
We Need to Talk, an important book by Dr. Linda Mental, is written to help you successfully navigate conflict. Find We Need to Talk wherever you buy books online. Welcome back to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Today we're talking about a problem that affects 100 million people in the United States, living with chronic pain. And our goal today is to give you some help on how to be an overcomer and reduce pain. Just as a reminder, Dr. Linda writes about this topic and others on her blog. Just go to drlindamental.com for more help and to follow her on social media. Dr. Linda, one of the easiest ways to see what you're writing about is to follow you on Twitter at Dr. Linda Helps.
It is really easy because I tweet on these topics and these blogs all the time, and you can just look at your Twitter feed and then you can decide if you want to click on something.
Right. It's amazing. I have a question that might seem obvious. I've heard that exercise helps chronic pain, yet because of the pain, people don't exercise or possibly even injure themselves more. Explain that.
Well, you're right. Pain can cause what is known as something called disuse syndrome, and that is a medical way of saying use it or lose it.
Huh.
So
right.
To avoid pain, a lot of people limit what they're doing because of the pain, right? It's just what you said. They, they feel pain. They don't want to move. They're afraid they're going to re-injure themselves. But eventually, Chris, this causes weakness, which then leads to even less physical activity, and then you have this cycle. So you're getting less and less active, and the pain gets worse and worse and worse. This is not good. And this is why careful exercise is really a key for people feeling better. So the constant theme when we're talking about chronic pain is you have to stay active. There is strong evidence that exercise is really beneficial to pain sufferers. Now, that is just counterintuitive to most people, don't you think?
Like, but remember at the beginning of the show, I told you about back pain. I have found that if I run, stay on the elliptical machine, and stay moving, the pain is less.
That's because it's keeping your muscles active and it's keeping your joints flexible, which alleviates those symptoms of chronic pain.
Yeah.
So the weaker your muscles are, the more vulnerable you're going to be to pain. And it can even cause injuries because you're not getting up and moving. So exercise also helps your endurance. It helps your range of motion. And it really can decrease the discomfort.
Is it a good idea to work with a physical therapist or someone who can guide you and help you to take it slow?
I think if you're afraid that you might hurt yourself, that's a good idea. And sometimes somebody else can push you a little bit forward.
Right.
And you do need to listen to your body. So I'm not saying just move through tremendous pain, but the idea is to move and to do something. So you might want someone to help you monitor your progress.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. When I had back surgery, you know, typical neurosurgeon did a great job on my back, fixed my back, and then was like, okay, bye. And I was like, wait a minute. I feel like I'm about 80 years old. I mean, I had this big brace on, and I didn't know how to get myself back into feeling healthy again. So I started to research it, Chris, and I found that Pilates was really a good way to do this because Pilates strengthens the core of the body. So I literally went to my YMCA, very slowly started doing Pilates, and I'm telling you, I started strengthening my body, and I felt so much better.
Wow.
And in the long run, I really got through that surgery very well because of that exercise I was doing.
What about music and art? A little different than exercise, but these are creative outlets that help a person with chronic pain.
They actually can help you with chronic pain. You release those endorphins, which are the body's natural painkillers. Art, music are great tools for pain management. I don't think that's something people think about. But just think about when you put on music and you're just hearing this beautiful song and you're just kind of soaring away. Your brain is actually helping your body. Now, the research shows that you have to personalize that music and that art to something that you enjoy. So if you're listening to something that you don't really enjoy, it's not going to help you too much. It's probably just going to annoy you.
Right. What about relaxation exercises? Doesn't stress increase pain and make the pain worse? And isn't it hard to relax when you're in pain? Your body tenses up.
It does. So that's the first thing we feel, right, is the tension and the pain. So their opposite of tension is relaxation. So if you can practice relaxation exercises, this, again, is a very helpful tool. So you can practice kind of tensing up your body and then relaxing it. You can do some guided imagery where you're kind of focusing on a very relaxing scene. You have to teach your body to relax and allow your muscles to relax, and then that's going to reduce those feelings of pain in your body. Deep breathing, scripture meditation, all of those are useful tools, and they will calm the body down and calm down the pain.
So much of what you just mentioned there, my wife used with Lamaze.
Did she? Okay.
Had the kids with no painkillers.
Wow.
And
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I went for a long time, and then I was like, okay, give me that epidural.
She made it through three kids using these exact steps you mentioned here about relaxation.
Well, they teach you to breathe, you know, so much of it is slowing down the body and getting you to breathe. And if you can do it, that is helpful. Now, I tried it for a long time, and it just got to the point where I was unable.
Yeah. We talk a lot about on this show about building community, and I'm going to guess that if you have people who support you, this would be a big help.
Finding a support group and finding a supportive friend can really help you live with chronic pain. Now, what you don't want to do is make your friendship around that pain and talk about that pain all the time. That is a temptation. But if you can find someone who's sympathetic, who can lend you an ear when you're really feeling bad, that is a really great thing. I don't know if you've ever heard of the name, Chris, Dr. Cecilia Saunders.
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't a name I knew.
Okay.
But she was the one who started the hospice movement.
Wow.
And she said, suffering is only intolerable when nobody cares. One continually sees that faith in God and his care is made infinitely easier by the faith of someone who has shown kindness and sympathy. That was the beginning of the hospice movement.
It's powerful. Anytime we're in pain, it's nice to know someone is concerned.
And I tell you, those people are gold. They come in there and they work with families and they do help ease the pain.
And having a support system helps keep you positive.
It does. And here's a big takeaway from today's show. Negative emotions can turn up the volume on pain. So life stress, fear of movement and re-injury, avoiding things, lack of motivation, sleep disturbance, poor social support we've just been talking about, and negative thinking patterns. All of those increase our pain. So our thoughts are like amplifiers for pain. The more negative we are, the more pain we have. So the Apostle Paul was right when he told us to think on good things.
Right.
Because negative thoughts and negative emotions make pain worse.
Well, there's so much more we can learn about this topic of reducing chronic pain. When we come back, I want to ask about why God allows pain to begin with. Let's get into this from a spiritual perspective. Stay with us. Dr. Linda, one of our listeners asked this question. Sometimes I'm so overcome with worry and anxiety that I think I'm losing my mind. Seems I've tried everything from drugs to meditation. Why doesn't anything work?
Well, I'm so sorry that your life seems so unmanageable and overwhelming. Too often, though, it does seem nearly impossible to live in peace and contentment because of all the craziness in our world. Did you know that God's plan for handling worry is so simple and yet so perfect that you can begin using it today? Did you know that starting right now, you can begin to cultivate a worry-free life? These aren't pie-in-the-sky promises. They're God's prescription for you to thrive and to soar past your anxiety and worries. Try this. The next time you begin to feel overwhelmed by life's pressures and worry clouds your mind with negative thoughts and depression, say what King David prayed. The Lord is my strength and my shield. Remind yourself that my heart trusts in Him and I am helped. I have so much more good news for you. I hope you'll find it in my book, Letting Go of Worry.
Thanks, Dr. Linda. Now that's great advice. You can find God's plan for your peace and contentment in Dr. Linda's book, Letting Go of Worry. It's available wherever you buy your books online. You're listening to the Dr. Linda Mental Show. Just a reminder that Dr. Linda can be followed on social media. Go to her website, drlindamental.com, and there you'll find books and blogs and so much more. Dr. Linda, probably the most common question you get about pain is, why does God allow people to suffer?
You know, it may seem like it, but our suffering does matter to God. Sometimes we feel like God is real far away, don't we, when we suffer?
Do. Mm-hmm.
But He's aware of our pain, and He cares about it. The person that I really admire in terms of this topic is Joni Erickson Tada. Have
right.
you ever heard her speak on
yes,
her pain?
Yes, I've seen her a time or two, yeah.
Yeah, so she wrote in one of her books, When God Weeps, Why Our Suffering Matters to the Almighty. Here's what she wrote, Chris. When sin entered the world, death entered. Chronic pain, illness, and disease are a form of death.
Hmm.
And St. Augustine once wrote, although there may be life without pain, there cannot be pain without some kind of life. So it's just part of the life that we live.
We can see in the Bible that Christ Himself had boundless compassion for those who suffered and healed multitudes of people. He healed everyone that He touched, but He didn't touch everyone.
Don't you find that interesting?
It is.
It's really a mystery, because Jesus had to know that people were suffering around Him, because He was
mm-hmm.
God, right? He was fully man and fully God. Yet He didn't heal everyone on the earth that suffered when He
right.
was on the earth. He only did what the Father told Him to do. So I don't really pretend to understand that at all. You have any wisdom on that
no,
one?
No, that topic is way above our pay grade here on the Dr. Linda Mental Show, for sure. And we know from the Bible that we can talk to God about anything in prayer.
So if we follow the example of the psalmists, who sometimes cry out to God, and they cried out a lot, actually, when you read the Psalms, and they persisted in their conversations with Him. To me, that's a model that we can cry out, we can be in agony, and we can ask the God, and we can be persistent with our prayer.
Do you think that we will ever understand suffering?
I've tried. I mean, I've really tried to think about this a lot, especially because I've had some pain in my own life. But I don't think on this side of eternity we're going to really understand it. But we can find purpose in our pain, and that helps with the coping.
I think that helps us understand it, too. We may not understand why God uses pain, but it is a mechanism that He uses to help hone our faith, if you will. Suffering can grow our faith if we approach it in an honest way with God. And I know when people suffer, there is a deepening in their walk.
I know. I always say to God, God, I don't need more testimony. Let me get it right this time.
Right.
But you're right. Suffering does produce intimacy with God. I mean, the story of Job is all about that, right? At the beginning of the story, he knew about God. And at the end of the story, he had a much deeper intimacy and experience for God. So we do tend to experience God in a deeper way.
You know, pain and suffering allow us to comfort others. You said a minute ago, God, I don't need more testimony. Perhaps that's one of the meanings we can make out of suffering.
Well, when we suffer, I mean, we do have hope about that, because then we do take that and we do share it with other people. And I think that people are, maybe they're justifiably suspicious of people who appear to have lived a life of ease. I mean, they don't listen to people that have had not a lot of problems.
Right.
So those who have suffered in a lot of ways make the most sense to be the people who are also going to comfort others. They've lived it. They know it. And we are instructed in the Bible that with the same that we've been comforted from God, that we need to comfort other people.
We don't like to hear this, but suffering does. It refines us.
So Isaiah 48:10 says, I have refined you, though not as silver. I have tested you in the furnace of affliction. So pain and suffering do have a way of bringing up our strengths and our weaknesses to the surface. God often purifies us and refines us to be the radiant bride of Christ. And pain can produce growth and maturity in the Christian walk. So the important thing to remember is that Jesus suffered, and he is acquainted with our grief. And he reminds us in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness."
Here's a question for you. Do you think the church does a good job of supporting people who suffer from chronic pain?
I think there's a lot of platitudes that are given in the church, you know, like bad things happen to good people. And a lot of times people come up and say, God is in control. And I don't know about you, but that doesn't really help me feel closer to God when I hear those platitudes.
Right.
So Teresa of Avila once said that our greatest struggle in prayer is when God feels silent. And I know when you're in praying, Chris, a lot of times God feels like he's not there and he's absent. Thomas Merton also noted that when God seems absent, we don't realize his presence, because we just don't feel him at those moments. So those difficult moments of darkness in our soul can lead us to depend on God's power, not our own.
Why do you think, especially as believers, why do we not do a better job of understanding chronic pain?
The church really likes stories of success and wins.
Right.
I mean, that's what we put on TV, right? It's
exactly.
Just like our culture. We want to see people who are winning, not people who are suffering, even though that's part of the Christian life.
Right.
The church is really better at sprinting than marathoning with people. Have you ever thought of that?
Yeah, good
so
point.
So we're really good at, you know, oh, I hope you're better. I hope you're doing great. But then that same person keeps coming back and they're really, really struggling. And after a while, we don't stay in there in the marathon of their life. We kind of drop out and we get exhausted with that person. So we have a lot of trouble sometimes in the church going the distance with people when problems just don't easily resolve. And chronic pain can be invisible to people also. They might not know that somebody's in that pain unless the person tells them. So living with pain in our fallen world just isn't easy. We know the biblical truth that God has not left us or forsaken us, but we have to trust him in order to avoid hopelessness and anger. And we need to encourage each other in that truth. We suffer after the cross, not before it, which means we participate in the suffering of Christ. The way of Christ is suffering, but then there's glory. And one day, all pain will be gone, and we will see him face to face. In the meantime, fight the good fight, pray for strength, and do what you can to lessen your pain. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Many thanks to my social media director and producer, Norm Mintel, our engineer, and my co-host, Chris Weigel, who makes this show a conversation. From all of us here at Faith Radio, we'll talk to you next weekend. In the meantime, remember, we're here, we're doing life together, and it's better when you don't have to do it alone. Well, thanks for listening to this conversation from the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. These podcasts are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend and helping us grow the impact of the Dr. Linda Mintel Show. Also, take a moment to subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player, and you'll never miss a show.